Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? It is so good to see each and every one of you. My name is Andrew McLean. For those of you that don't know me, I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway, and we are just so thankful to see you. I'm especially glad to have my mom and dad with us all the way from Enugu, Nigeria. I think they drove the furthest to church. No, they didn't leave today, but they did make it from a long, long ways away. And it is really good to see. I saw Morris. Morris, where are you? Yeah, Morris, there in the back. Listen, that is a miracle in action. God just touched his body. How many weeks ago was that? 6, 7 weeks ago? 8 weeks ago now? Roughly thereabout. He was involved in he was riding his bike for exercise and was hit by a car. And man, God just so graciously spared him. And just, man, if you want to shake hands with a living miracle, you see Morris after church. Morris is Noah's father. And we're just so happy to see you. Just, man, made my day to see you walk in this morning. Well, I wanted to let you know that this is the first week of the month, and typically what we do the first Thursday, the first week of the month, is we have Encounter Night. But I want to let you know that for the month of December, there will be no Encounter Night. So if you come on Thursday, you're welcome to show up, but the worship team is going to be preparing. We've got a lot of stuff going on for our special Christmas Eve service, which is going to be on December 23rd at 7 p.m. And I think, at 7 p.m. And so you want to put that in your calendar. That's a Monday night, so we're doing it at 7 p.m. to give you, those of you that are working, to give you chance to get here. But this is one of the best attended services of the year. It's a candlelight service. It's super super amazing. And I just wanted to make sure that you have that in your calendar. Well, how many of you saw a post about some big news? Yeah. Big news. All right. Yeah. So I want to share some really, really great news with you. And that is this week the bank called us and. You know, we've been working on our building fund and kind of working through all the contingency periods of our building. But the bank called us and let us know this week that closing has now been set for December 23rd. Come on, somebody shout. Amen. Amen. That is an absolute, absolute miracle of all miracles for us to be moving into a place of that size and just all the things that God had to work through and orchestrate for us. And so once again, over the next couple of months, you're going to be hearing more and more about that. But here's what I need to let you know. How many of you remember about 7 or 8 weeks ago, I gave a building update and told you that we needed to pray because our financing company backed out. How many of you guys kind of remembered that? All right, so initially when I first talked about the building, what I shared with you was that we were going to with the initial bank that was going to work with us, they were going to take our down payment. And so, you know, whenever you buy commercial real estate or even residential real estate, you've got to have a down payment. And so what this bank was going to do was going to allow us to pay 20% down. And then typically it's anywhere between 25 and 35 is what most banks want to see down. And so what they were going to do was to get to 25%, which was the target, they were going to honor pledges that we as a church family made together. So how many of you remember we took pledges? Many of you have been very faithful in giving to those. And so one of the things that happened, and just let you know what's going on, just sometimes we got to have a family business discussion. But one of the things that happened is when that bank stepped away from the deal, we did find a new bank, which was a miracle. And unfortunately, they're not going to recognize the funds that are coming in via our capital campaign. Now don't get scared, all right? Just hold on to that for a second. come back to that in just a second. Well, let me just explain that to you now. So the building that we're moving into needs a lot of repairs, and it needs a lot of love. And so it's fine that they're not going to recognize that, because as that comes in, we'll continue to make the upgrades to the bathrooms and windows and central air and all the different things that we need to do. So with all that being said, that leaves us, just wanted to let you know, we are about $30,000 short of our goal of where we need to get for closing. And so I know many of you have made massive pledges and big pledges. And so the reason I'm bringing this up again is you just got to know what the need is. And so what I'm asking you to do is pray about this. Now, if you've already made a pledge and you've already extended yourself as far as you can, listen, this message isn't for you, all right? This announcement isn't for you. But for everyone else that's here in the room today, if you've been thinking about making a pledge or a one-time gift towards the building, what I'd like to do is 2 weeks from today, that's going to be December 15th, we just need to take a faith offering, because we've got to come up with enough money to have in the bank to close on the 23rd, all right? And so I just look at it this way. If we can find 30 people that'll give $1,000, we're at our goal. Or 60 people to put $500 in, we'll be at our goal. And so we just encourage you to just talk to Jesus like we always do. No pressure. Talk to Jesus, and however he directs you to give will be perfect, all right? And so once again, every one of you, I know some of you have made substantial pledges. Listen, I'm not putting more weight on you, but just talk to Jesus however he directs us. We're going to get there. We've got churches all over the country that are partnering with us and sending us money. They're so excited about what God is doing. And so listen, we're not alone in this, but we just got a little bit more work to get across the finish line. But it is a great miracle. Anybody excited about that? And so my initials, I know some of the questions, well, when, you know, as long as everything goes right, and if any of you have worked with city inspectors, you know, sometimes there's things that happen that are way beyond our control, but if everything falls into place and goes together right, our hope is going to be that by February 2nd, we would have our first service in the new building, kind of a test run. And then February 9th will be kind of the relaunch. And you see, did that picture make it up there? It's already gone with 414 Church. Or did it ever even make it? It made it up there. Okay, I just didn't turn around in time. So super excited about that. So I know some of you are like, hey, I want to help and I want to do some things. And we'll get you more information about that in the next few weeks, as we just found out about this closing a couple of days ago. And we just got to get some things organized and arranged to be able to move forward like that. But listen, there's going to be a lot of sweat equity needed to be put into this building. So those of you that can clean, those of you that can pull carpet, I mean, there is going to be no shortage of work that needs to be done. And so we'll be getting you more information. You know, the old saying says, many hands make light work. And I just believe this is going to be a super special place that is really going to catapult us into the next season as a church. All right, everybody excited about that? Amen. Well, let's just take a moment, and I know I've had you clap like 6 times already, but I want to make sure you're not falling asleep. But one of the things we do before we start every message is we give a big welcome to all of those who listen to our message digitally and online. We love and are so thankful for our online audience, and we appreciate you. Well, today is part 4 of our Blessed Life series, and I hope this past week you were able to take some time to reflect on God's goodness, as well as spend time with friends and family celebrating his provision and faithfulness. In fact, it's not an accident that we do this series around this time every year. We pick this season because there's a natural rhythm that isn't so normal in our culture, but there's a natural rhythm in this period of time towards gratitude. And here's one of the things that I've learned and I've discovered is that genuine, authentic gratitude always leads to a pure expression of generosity. In fact, I like to say it this way: your thanks should lead to giving. That's where we get thanksgiving from. And God's blessing is really awaiting those who live life with an external perspective, looking for opportunities to be generous. And so today, I want to speak about breaking the spirit of mammon, breaking the spirit of mammon. If you've got in your service guide, there's a sermon outline. I encourage you to pull it out, follow along with us. The scriptures are there. This is also available digitally in our church app. But mammon has always been a strange, it's kind of a funny sounding word to me, a word that for a long time I never really understood. In fact, scripture records Jesus using the word three times. Two of the three recount the same message. So the same message was recorded in two different gospels found in Matthew and in Luke. And so we're going to look at this in Luke's account of this little message, this little sermon that Jesus was giving. And it says this, it says, "And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home." We're going to come back to this verse in just a little while. Verse 10, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been unfaithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own?" Verse 13, "No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other." And here's the key phrase in this: you cannot serve God and mammon. This is really one of the only times in the Bible where Jesus makes a statement like this. He tells us that one cannot serve God and mammon. And since we cannot serve both God and mammon, it's essential, it's important that we understand what it is. And so this morning, I want to help you understand the spirit of mammon. Here's the first point in your sermon outline, the first fill in the blank, number one: mammon means riches or wealth. It's an Aramaic word that means riches or wealth, but I want you to know that this goes so much deeper than just money. In this passage, Jesus was referring to a false god that the people of that day were very familiar with. The Syrian god of riches was called Mammon, and this god can be traced back to almost the beginning of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 11, in verse 1, it says, "Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. And as people moved eastward, they found a plain in Babylonia and settled there. And they said to each other, 'Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly.'" They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. "And then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens.'" Watch this. "So that we may make a name for ourselves." And this verse really describes the gist of the spirit of mammon. It is pride. It is dependency upon oneself. It's making a name for yourself. And so God is looking down from heaven, and he sees this happening. He basically says, "Hey, I'm going to show them who's really in charge." Verse 7, God says, "Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." And so the Lord scattered them there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it's called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. So God comes down and he confuses them. He changes all of their language. And so the name of Babylon came from the Tower of Babel. And the Tower of Babel was birthed out of pride and arrogance because mankind wanted to make a name for themselves. In other words, they felt as if they didn't need God. And so this word Babel, it means confusion, and Babylon means sown or planted in confusion. So out of Babylon, out of this corrupt system, this faulty way of thinking, came this false god called mammon. And now I want you to understand that mammon is not just about money. It's really about the spirit that rests upon money. It is a false god that tries to get us to worship money as our source rather than God. Mammon tries to get us to look to money to meet our needs rather than looking to God. And so the people of Babylonia thought that they could get to heaven on their own, that with their own energy, with their own ingenuity, with their own creativity, with their own will and their own strength, that they could get there. And so this spirit of Mammon said to them, it rose up in them, come on, let's make a name for ourselves. And so Mammon is rooted in this worldly spirit of arrogance that's motivated by selfishness and driven by this desire to be known and to be recognized. Mammon says, we don't need God if we have enough riches, if we have enough money in the bank account. It is a prideful spirit that contrasts itself against God and the need for God. It literally, what the spirit of Mammon does is it literally tries to replace God. And so it's important that we recognize this morning that all money has a spirit on it. It either has God's spirit on it or it has the spirit of Mammon on it. And so the question that we must honestly ask ourselves is, does the spirit behind my money say, God, I need you. God, you are my provider. Or does it say, I'm going to take care of things all by myself. I've got it under control. I'm going to make a name for me. We must examine our motives for wanting more money and more resources. Is it to tell of God's great love, of his great provision, and to build and expand the kingdom? Or is it to prove to the world, to the people that you work with, the people that you go to school with, is it to prove to them that you're a somebody, that you're someone that is important? So like we discussed last week, the way that we keep God's spirit on the money that he has entrusted us to steward is to submit to God and to follow his financial plan. We submit our money to God by bringing what? The first 10% to him, at which point we are promised that he will redeem the rest, because like we mentioned last week, the first portion is the redemptive portion. The first portion is what has the ability to redeem and bless the rest. And so that's why God could say in Malachi 3, he could tell us that when his spirit rests upon our money, that he will rebuke our enemy, that he will literally come down and he will rebuke the devourer for our sake. So all these years later, Jesus tells us that we cannot serve both God and Mammon, it's impossible. And so it's important that we understand that the spirit of Mammon, the next fill in the blank in your outline is that Mammon is looking for servants. It's looking for servants. Understand this morning that Mammon wants to rule. Mammon wants to be in charge. Mammon wants you to look at it instead of looking to God. And Jesus flat out, he tells us, you will be loyal to me or you will be loyal to the spirit of Mammon one way or the other. And the way that Mammon gets servants, this is what he does, the spirit does, is by promising us only what God can give us. It essentially tries to take God's rightful place in our lives. Mammon promises identity. It promises security. It promises significance, independence, power, freedom, peace, and joy. But I want you to hear me this morning. Only God can give you true peace. Only God can give you true joy. Only God can truly set you free. Only God can give you the significance that you desire. I want you to understand that your identity can only be found in Christ. Why? Because you are a child of God. You were created in his image. Is anybody glad about that today? And so Mammon promises to insulate us from life's problems. It whispers, you know what, if you have more money, you won't have as many problems. You'll have security. But I want you to understand that that's a lie. Even people with a lot of money have problems. The spirit of Mammon tries to get us to put our trust and our security in our bank account and in our retirement fund. But listen, I want you to understand this morning that money is not our security. God is our security. Amen. Mammon tells us, if I have enough money, I can live where I want. I can do what I want. I can go wherever I want. But listen, how much better would it be to live where God wants me to live, to go where God wants me to go, to do the things that God wants me to do? I want you to understand that's real freedom this morning, is living under the power of God. So don't forget, Mammon wants to rule, wants to be in control. In fact, when we look at the end of days, the end of times, the Antichrist is going to rule through this spirit of Mammon. Listen, it's not going to be the threat of nuclear war. No, no, the Antichrist will rule through the threat of people not being able to buy and sell unless they bow to him. In essence, the Antichrist will say, listen, if you don't bow to me, if you don't serve me, your needs will not be met. And so Jesus is trying to get us to recognize that he is the only one that can provide everything that we need. Come on, how many of you know that God is a provider here today? The other reason that we know that Mammon is a spirit is because spirits talk. The next fill in the blank is this: Mammon talks. The spirit of Mammon talks a lot. And you probably experience this. Listen, anytime that we sit down to prepare to bring our tithes, or when there's an opportunity to give, whether it be offerings or to a legacy offering or maybe even the building fund, Mammon will instantly start whispering in our ear and he'll say, No, don't do that. You can't afford to do that. That's your security. Don't you know you've got Christmas presents to buy in 3 weeks? Better hold on to that. You need that security. Come on, anybody ever heard that voice whisper in their ear? Come on, a few honest people in church, all right? Mammon will tell us lies like, listen, if you had more money, people would listen to you. You'd have more influence. Mammon says that if you had the right car, if you have the right home, if you wear the right clothes, then you'll be more accepted. Mammon will even tell us lies like, if you had more money, then your marriage would be better. But I want you to understand, money doesn't have the power to make your marriage better. God is what makes our marriages better. Jesus never one time through the Gospels ever told anyone that the answer to their problems was to get more money. And so when we face a financial difficulty in our lives, we often tend to think, well, I need God to come through, or I need some more money. Like, if I could just win the lottery, right? Man, when the Powerball is 900, man, if I could just win that, like, if somebody would just send me some money in the mail, it would take care of all of these problems. And while it's not intentional, what we're essentially saying is, if this money comes along, then God, I don't really need you right now. My problem is solved. If we think that most of our problems could be solved by having more money, listen, I want you to understand that's a red flag that we've been influenced by the spirit of Mammon. So I want you to hear me this morning. Money is not the answer to your problems. Jesus is. He's the answer to any problem. He's the answer to any situation that you may face. So what is Mammon? Mammon is a spirit attached to a false god that was birthed out of a culture that was convinced that they didn't need God. Mammon promises what only God can provide. Mammon is motivated by pride and selfishness. It is driven by the desire to be known and to be recognized. Mammon tries to get us to worship money as our source rather than God. Mammon is looking today for servants. It wants to rule. And Mammon is always talking to us. And listen, the voice of Mammon is always whispering in our ears, trying to get us to not be generous with our time, with our talent, and our treasure. The second point in your outline is this: it's important that we understand, number two, it's important that you understand this morning that money is not evil. Money is not evil. Somebody's like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Yes. It's neutral. It's amoral. You can either do good with money or you can do bad with money. And so when Jesus taught this principle, he wasn't telling us that we should hate money, but he was cautioning us about this spirit of Mammon, and if we're not careful, it can rest upon our money. And he was really instructing us to hate the greedy and the selfish and the lying and the deceiving and the manipulative and the prideful spirit that often operates through money in our culture. In fact, 1 Timothy 6:10 says this: for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, watch this, craving money, have wandered from the true faith. Well, who's that talking to? It's talking to followers of Jesus. Some people who were following Jesus, they started craving money, and because of that, they wandered from the true faith. Watch what happens. And they have pierced themselves. They've inflicted it upon themselves. They've done it with many sorrows. In fact, New King James translates the same verse and says, some have strayed from the faith in their greediness. In other words, the worship of the spirit of mammon, the worship of pride and greed and covetousness and selfishness, that is what is the root of all evil. And so money is just a tool that can be used for either unrighteous or righteous purposes, for temporal or eternal purposes. We get to make the choice. You get to make the choice. I get to make the choice on how to use it. Jesus was said this, I love this, in Matthew 25, 35. He said, for I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. I want you to recognize, listen, everything in these two verses of scripture that Jesus praises his children for doing, all of them require money. They all require resources. So listen, I'm not saying this morning that you shouldn't try to make money if you own a business, or that you shouldn't work hard to get a raise and get promoted. I'm saying that you should make as much as you can, but in that, be responsible. Take care of your family. Be a wise steward, but give as much as you can to the kingdom of God, to things that will stand the test of time. So money isn't evil. We should allow God to use it for his purposes. Here's the third thing I want to share with you. So since money can be used for God's purpose, number three, what should I do? What should I do with money? If it's not evil, what should I do with it? The most important thing is that we learn to be a good steward with what God has entrusted us. I want to go back to one of the first verses that we read, Luke chapter 16, 9. It says this, and I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. Now, this is a verse that can very easily be misunderstood, can be very easily misinterpreted. Again, you can't think of mammon as money. It's a spirit of it's a spirit and a god of greed. And so at first glance, this verse sounds like it's saying to make friends with people that have money, or to make friends with money, or make friends with the spirit of mammon, or do favors for some people, and then they'll turn around and do favors for you when you need it. But listen, that's not what this verse is saying. What it's saying is to take this money that's typically dedicated to the spirit of mammon, this tool that has the potential for greed and covetousness and selfishness all over it, and instead take that and redeem it and use it for what is good. Use it to invest into the eternal. In other words, use it to invest in something that allows people to know Jesus Christ. And then watch what will happen. Then they will become your friends, your brothers and sisters in Christ. And then Jesus says, when you fail. And so that word fail literally means die. So when you die, these people that you've given to, they'll receive you into an everlasting home. I want to look at the same verse in the New Living Translation. It says this, here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then when your possessions are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home. And here's what I want you to understand. In other words, one day, when I get to heaven, I believe that I'm going to be welcomed by some people who came into the kingdom because of what I gave. Think about that for a moment. So incredible. God can literally take, he will literally take the money that we give and he will turn it into souls. And so I believe that one day, there are going to be those of us in this room that have faithfully supported this church, and we've sent money to Nigeria, and we've sent money to Africa, and we've helped Bible school students, and we've been involved in various missions things. But one day, we're going to get to walk in heaven, and we're going to be greeted by some people from Africa because of what you and I gave. Amen. people that you or I have never met are going to come up to us in heaven. They're going to say, you know what? You sent money and you were obedient to do what God told you to do and to give. And so I'm here today. I'm standing here today because of your generosity. That excites me. And so the reason this whole area of finances and possession and things is such a battleground area is because Satan knows that God can take our resources, take the resources that we turn back to him, our generosity, and he can turn it into souls. Satan knows that the more we give to church and to ministries and to missionaries around the world, the more people are going to be rescued from hell and spend an eternity in heaven instead. And so that's why part of our sin nature includes being born without a desire to share, right? You know, one of the first things, we talked about this a few weeks ago, those of us that have little kids, we don't have to teach our kids, but they somehow always learn how to say, mine, mine, and they grab the toy out of someone else's hand. We're just ingrained. Satan doesn't want people to give, even as adults, and many of us as adults, we act the same way. Sure, we don't pitch a temper tantrum in front of everyone, but listen, Satan doesn't want us to give. He doesn't want us to live a blessed life. Why? Because he wants as many people, understand this, he wants as many people as possible to share in his upcoming torment. And I don't know about you, but it excites me to consider the fact that every time that I give, hell is being plundered by my offerings. Every time I bring to God my time, when I give him my talent, when I bring him my treasure, God is using me to literally pull people out of hell and get them into heaven. People that would otherwise spend an eternity separated from God, I'm able to be a part of their eternal story through my giving. So God is the only one that can take unrighteous mammon and turn it into souls. And I want you to understand, that's what true riches are. Paul in Ephesians 1:18 writes about our spiritual inheritance. He says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Jesus said in Matthew 6:19, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal them. Instead, store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. And so our goal should be to live with our heart in heaven, and the measure of reaching that goal is found in looking at where our treasure is being spent. I gave you the exciting update on our building earlier, and God has really performed an incredible miracle for us. But here's the thing, as much as it's a miraculous blessing, I want you to hear me, everybody, just put your pens down, I want your eyes right here for a moment. As much as this is a miraculous blessing, when Shiloh and I planted this church, the goal, the mark of success was not to be property owners. Because if that was the goal, on December 3rd, 23rd, we can go into that room and we can sign the paperwork, and then we can just put our seats back, put our feet up and take it easy. Listen, I want you to understand, we planted this church because there were lost people in our city who need to be saved. There are 426,000 people that live within a 5-mile radius of our new facility. I want you to understand, we planted because there were people who had been hurt by past experiences in church that needed a place of safety, a place of love to go, a place where they could find healing and freedom and to reconnect with God. We planted this church because there were those who were addicted, who were depressed, who were suicidal, whose marriages were breaking apart, that needed to experience the hope and the healing that only Jesus Christ can bring. I want you to understand this morning, the building is only a tool that will allow us to reach more people for Jesus. Amen. So I want you to understand this. When I give to the building fund, I'm not doing it so I won't have to set up and tear down anymore. No. I'm doing it because having proper signage, having safe and welcoming rooms suited for our children, I'm doing it so that we can have a place that people will drive by and see a sign, and they'll see, and hopefully I believe they'll feel the Spirit of God when they drive down National Avenue every single day, and one of those days that they'll be broken and hurting enough that they'll be drawn by the Spirit of God to come into that place. We're doing this. I'm giving to this fund so that we can reach more people for Jesus. You'll hear more about this in the weeks to come, but I believe that this building will be a vehicle that's going to allow us to grow by 50, 60, 70, even 80% in size by this time next year. Listen, it is a tool that I'm willing to invest in. Why? So that I can help alter the course of eternity. I'm doing it so marriages can be restored, so that more people can experience healing and wholeness, so that more people can discover the purpose and realize the God-given potential that has been placed inside of them, and that they'll take it and use it to make a difference in this world. Amen. And so let me ask you this question. So many of us are so good at being saved. It's been so long since we've been in the muck and mire and in the pit and wallowing in our own filth. Where would you be today without Jesus Christ? Where would your marriage be today without Jesus Christ? Where would your family be? Listen, the onus is on us. The responsibility is ours to create environments through our generosity where somebody else can come and experience the life-changing, life-giving power of Jesus Christ. And so we exist, last blank in your outline, we exist to be a home where people are led to become fully engaged followers of Jesus. Jesus said in Luke 16:11, "And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, in other words, unrighteous mammon, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven?" You want to know how to live a blessed life this morning? It's not the car in your driveway. It's not your home, but it's storing up true riches in heaven. True riches of heaven are people. People are who Jesus gave his life for. Understand that what we do when we give, whether it be of our time, whether it be of our talent, whether it be of our treasure, it is a spiritual act. And so every time I click send on the text to give on my phone, or if I click the Give Now button on a website, or I fill out a giving envelope and I drop it in the green giving kiosk. Listen, every time that I serve on a Sunday morning, listen, I want you to understand that eternity is being shifted. And Shyle and I have been on this giving journey together for over 24 years now, and we've not always gotten it right. And there are times when we've had to pause and remind ourselves that our hearts need to be focused in heaven, because mammon is always talking and the spirit is so enticing. The spirit of mammon, it is so deceiving. And listen, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have nice things and that we shouldn't enjoy life, but I'm saying that we all experience times in our lives when we get out of balance, and we need to remind ourselves this world is temporary. This world is not my home. And because of that, I'm going to choose to invest my time. I'm going to choose to invest my energy. I'm going to choose to invest my finances into eternal things. The things that make a lasting impact. The things that make a difference in the kingdom of God. Listen, that career that you're working so hard in, and I understand we've got to pay our bills, but one day that's going to be gone. That car you're working so hard to save for, That dream home that covers so much of your life and all the time you spend thinking about. Listen, one day all of those things are going to pass away. The only things that will last are what we did to make a difference in the kingdom of heaven. I promise you this morning, you will never, never, ever regret being generous. Proverbs 10:22 gives us a great promise. The blessing of the Lord makes a person rich. Not what's in your bank account. The blessing of the Lord, when we care about the things that the Lord cares about, the blessing of the Lord makes a person rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. You will never, ever regret spending your life on the things that matter for Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. As I wrap this message up, perhaps you're sitting here this morning, and I believe the Holy Spirit is moving all throughout this room right now. And you're feeling something. Maybe it feels like a pin in your stomach, or a knot in your heart, or a knot in the back of your throat. I want you to understand that that is the Holy Spirit, that is God moving upon your heart. And so if you're sitting here this morning and you've never made the commitment to follow Jesus, sure, you've worked hard to make a name for yourself, you've bought things, you've went on fancy trips, and you bought nice clothes, and in the end, though, you're still empty. I want you to understand that God, he wants to break the spirit of mammon off of our lives today. And so this morning, you can have a fresh start. This morning, you can be made new. All you have to do is repent. All you have to do is say sorry for your sins. All you have to do is make the choice to pursue Jesus Christ. So if you're ready to make that decision this morning, I want to pray for you. So without hesitation, if there's anybody who's ready to say yes to Jesus, would you just lift your hand right now so I know who I'm praying for? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Thank you, I see your hand. Let's all pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, I give you my heart. Lord, I've worked so hard to make a name, to have success in a career, to get an education. And Lord, while all of those things have some value on earth, the truth is, after all of those things, I'm still empty. And so, Lord Jesus, right now, I give you my heart. All the brokenness, all the hurts, all the pain, Lord, I give it all to you. And Lord, right now, I'm making the choice to repent. I'm making the choice to stop going my own direction and pursuing the spirit of mammon that says I can do it on my own. And instead, Lord, today, I am committing my life to make an about face, leave that stuff and turn towards you. I give you my life. Lord Jesus, I pray for every member of this church, every member of this church family. It's so easy, Lord, to be caught up, to get caught up in all the trying to accumulate and all the trying to get. And Lord, I pray that in this season, in this moment, that you would speak to us, Lord, and that you'd turn our hearts back to you. Everything in this room, everything in our homes, one day will end up in a landfill. The only thing that will last are the souls that are in this room, and the souls of our coworkers, and the souls of our family members, and the souls of our classmates. And so, Lord Jesus, I ask, Lord, that you'd help our hearts break for the things that break yours. Lord, all over again, we say yes to you. All over again, we say yes to your will and to your way. We ask this in Jesus' name, we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.